This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. His message, titled A Piece of the Puzzle, was presented on the occasion of the Fellowship's 12th anniversary, March 8th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
This morning, we're talking about the piece of the puzzle. And if you ever did a puzzle, nowadays there's puzzles on your iPad. My wife likes to do that. It's like, I like to be able to have all the pieces spread out and so I can, try and match them. When it's on a computer screen, it's a little bit more difficult, so it's more challenging maybe. But, if you made a puzzle, the piece that fits on the bottom right-hand corner, it's only going to fit on the bottom right-hand corner. You notice that? If you try to put it up here, it doesn't work unless you turn the puzzle upside down. Yeah? There's like just one specific place for every single piece. And no piece going to fit here or there. It's not an option, right? I mean, when you have kids, you see them try to put puzzle pieces in the wrong place, right? Kind of, you want to say like it doesn't belong there, but you kind of want to let them figure it out. It's like trying to put that square peg in the round hole. Sorry, it's not going to work. Unless you get one really big hammer, right? We have been here for 12 years, man, and by God's grace and His mercy, we have survived through all the lean times and the time of abundance. We have survived attacks. We have survived all those things. We have survived. The windstorms that came and took the tarp down. We got here some Sunday mornings and where's our tarp? We get here some Sunday mornings and one Sunday morning after they had a function over here, there was a pile of rubbish almost the size of a car out there and I'm like, wow, what am I going to do? Okay, so I put it in my truck and I parked it as far away as I could so the smell wouldn't affect us. We had one service, we had a dead cat underneath here. And the wind didn't shift to blow that way until the end of service, thank God. Because imagine, and then one of our brave, brave men went under there to go scoop it up, which was, he said it was liquid. Yeah. Woo. Well, don't worry, we're not eating yet. We got another 45 minutes before we eat, okay. But, I believe that you and I, this fellowship can exist here in this community until Jesus returned. And who knows that will be. But until that day comes, until Jesus says, I'm coming back, we need to be ready. We need to continue to be doing the Lord's work. And, I love this group of people because we have all different nationalities. We have all different professions. We have younger people. We have older people. We have middle-aged people. Liar. I'm not going to be, if I'm middle-aged, that means I would be, no, I'm not going to live that though to over 100. So, but we have all those. And the thing is, every time I think about it, I would never imagine that God would allow me the responsibility to care for His people. And I feel honored and I'm humbled that God would consider me to be worthy of such a wonderful fellowship, to be a part of this. And as the pastor of this fellowship, I think one of my greatest responsibilities is to invest and raise up leaders to motivate you to be better and to help us to grow each and every day. To disciple people who will in turn disciple people. And to make you the best possible you God created you to be. Amen? And I tell you what, after 12 years, I see people come and people go. I had to make some difficult decisions. I have made many, many friends. And I can tell you I probably made some enemies. I'm being honest. Some people left here. And some people just don't like me. I don't know why. Maybe if you don't like me, you can tell me why. But, and I had people curse at me, and you know, maybe you could say I got people stab me in the back. But through all of that, I have been able to remain in love with God and in love with people. And there is, for my personal, there is nothing more rewarding than serving the Lord, making adjustments to my life. Like James, he made an adjustment. He could have, he's in a fishing tournament right now. And, you know, I guess he cannot catch nothing, no fish from here, but he can catch people. He made an adjustment to his life, because if you knew James before, every waking moment was about fishing. And you could tell he loved fishing. And I would pray for James. I said, Lord, I see James has such a passion for fishing. Could you change that passion from fishing to you? And God is changing his passion from fishing to loving God. And I pray that for all of you. And it's working, because look, he's not fishing, but he's here. And God already allowed him to catch his fish anyway. So that's good. And the life God gave me to serve, I've been so blessed since coming to the Lord and since beginning to serve him. And this morning, I have a couple challenging questions I want to ask you this morning. If you consider New Hope East Hawaii your home, now if you belong to another fellowship, you ask that same question to yourself about your fellowship. And here's, what role do you have in this fellowship, in my fellowship? And the other one, what role will you have in the future of this fellowship? So what role do you have right now in the fellowship, and what role would you have in the future? So let's look at the first one. What role do you have now? Are you serving somewhere? Are you serving somewhere in this fellowship? Whether you cook food, whether you sing, you pass out bulletins, teach our children, direct traffic, usher people to their seats, pass the offering buckets. Maybe it's none of these. Maybe you pray, and that is very important. Maybe you constantly pray for this fellowship. Maybe you constantly pray for the members. Maybe you constantly pray for me. Or maybe you think, do I even have a role here? Am I even a part of the piece of this place called New Hope East Hawaii? Or what role do you want to be? Maybe you want to be up here speaking. Come on. Is my glasses dirty? I don't see any hands. Because you know why? When you don't raise your hand, that's the ones God selects. Because I never raised my hand and... no kicking and screaming. No, not me. Not me. I did the Moses. Who am I? Yeah. You know, if you are called here by God, if God said, I want you to be here at New Hope East Hawaii, then I really believe there is a place for you. It's like that puzzle we were talking about. Every piece has its place. And don't tell me yours is in the 10th row on the 5th seat, on the right side or the left side, underneath the fan, or, you know, God has a place for you here to be an active part of the body of Christ. Not a piece of the body that does, I don't know, if you have a piece of the body that doesn't do anything, right? Every one of you is a piece to this puzzle, and you can fit in the place that God has called you, a specific place, a specific role. And the question is, are you fulfilling the call of God by fitting into the role that God has called you to? 1 Corinthians 12, you might want to turn there if you have your Bible. It's in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12. Starting in verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, And all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. So if you look around, we have many members, 100 people here, and each one of us is a part of the body. Now, if a certain part of your body doesn't work, it's hard. If your left leg doesn't work, could you walk? If your mouth doesn't work or your eyes don't work, that would be difficult. But we are many members, but one body, the body of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, if it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not the eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now, God has placed the members, each one of them, each one of you, in the body just as He desired. He placed you in this body, in this fellowship called New Hope East Hawaii, just as He desired to. Not to sit down and do nothing, but to be a part of the working body of Christ. Amen? Amen. What part do you want to have in the future of this fellowship? What role do you want to play? Do you want to be one of those who invests in the next generations? Here are some ways. You can pray for them. You can teach them. You can serve them through your giving and your loving. Okay. So, you know, we have a mixed age group here. We have some young ones, some middle-aged ones, some older ones. And we all have a part in determining the future of this fellowship. You know, if you try to do a church with all high school, junior high, and college people, it could be done. But a lot of these young ones, they may not be working yet. They may be in school. So your tithes and your offerings might not be able to sustain the church. That's where the older professional, the people who's been working, their tithes and their offerings can help sustain things. And that's why it's important to have the young and the old. And the young can be mentored by the older ones. You know, and in order for you and I, in order for this fellowship to keep on going in this community, we need to do several things. We need to keep inviting people to join us. I mean, it's great. You know, the thing is, sometimes, you know, pastors, they love to have big churches, you know, with thousands and thousands and thousands. That was not my desire. I say I'd rather just build big people. And when we get to 200, we just send 100 away to go start a new church. And, you know, we grow that way. But we need to keep inviting people. I mean, we could always ask Pastor Aaron to do two services. And the worship team, and it's like, their heart just went racing. Yeah. But we invite people, we fill this place up. Because if you look to the left and to the right, to the front and the back, there are plenty more seats that we can fill. But we got to keep inviting people so that others would have that chance to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then we get to keep on discipling people. You know, we that's why we do these groups. We call them life groups. And we read the Bible together. We teach people how to feed themselves spiritually by reading the Bible and writing an observation, writing an application, and writing it all out so that we, in the sense, we're discipling them. And then hopefully that they will take what they learn and get another bunch of people and start doing the same thing. So we got to disciple people who will disciple people who will disciple people. Yeah? Then we get to keep reaching out into our community. And that's an important part. That's why we have Chaplain Frank. He is part of our fellowship. But on Sundays, most Sundays, or at least two a month, he's down at the racetrack preaching a message down there of God, of Christ, and of repentance, of salvation. And that's one of the ways we reach out into our community. And then, you know, we get to keep spreading the love of God in our community. And that can only be done when we are healthy, when we take care of ourselves. Because if we're not spiritually healthy, we can try and share, but people will look at our lives, and if our lives spiritually are crumbling and falling apart, they're going to look at us as like, I don't know if I want to be like that. But when we take care of ourselves spiritually and we become healthy, then we reflect the light of God, and that's how we reach our community. We need to take care of that. That's why we do our devotions. In Jeremiah 29:7, the Israelites, they were captive. They were captive. They're taken captive by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah writes this to them: seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. So he wrote to these captives, instructing them to move on with their lives, even if they were captives, even if they were in a pagan nation that forced them to live there. Their lives couldn't just come to a halt, but they had to keep moving forward. Even if it was distressing or what to them, Jeremiah told them, pray for them. Pray for that city that has, you know, it's like telling you to pray for your enemies or praying for somebody who's oppressing you. And you may find it difficult to pray for someone who in authority who may seem evil, but I think that's when your prayers are most needed. If you ever had a boss who picks on you, who is just, you think that's like the devil in disguise? Yeah, I had many of those. Good, they're not here, so I tried to invite them here, but you know, I think that's when your prayers for them are most needed, and not the kind of prayers like, oh Lord, let them burn in, you know, right? You pray for their salvation, right? I think that's when the prayers are most needed. And when you enter difficult times, sudden change, pray. Pray and move ahead, doing what you can, rather than giving up because of fear or uncertainty. And if you think about what Jeremiah is instructing them to do, it makes so much sense, because even in today's world, even in this fallen world and the communities we live in, you know, just 10 miles down the road, people call that Dodge City. Yeah, you dodge bullets. And you know what? That's where we sent our brother Jaywin. I know, that's so bad, yeah? I mean, oh, but he fits in perfect over there. Yeah, and he can mentor those people because he was part of that crowd. Well, I'm just judging that community. But he fits in well. He mentors the people. He's growing the church. And if you think about it, if you pray for KL, Pune, you pray for Hilo, if the community does well and prospers, we will prosper. Our businesses will prosper. You know, the stores will do better. In turn, we will do better. The economy will get better. So, especially with this COVID-19, you need to pray for our community. Somebody I heard that say, oh, don't go to Target or Walmart because that's where they drop off the tourists that come off the boat. You guys heard that? How many of you heard that? I was just in there the other day. It's like, really? So if Target and Walmart suffers and they got to lay off employees who belong in our churches, then who suffers? We all suffer. But if they prosper, they hire more people, the more people make more money, and they spend it at your place of employment, right? So, seek the welfare of the city where God has sent you, right? So we pray for our city, and it makes so much sense, because if the city that we live in prospers, we all prosper. Imagine, like, some communities now, they close down the schools, and we have school teachers in here. Where would the school teachers go? Yeah. And if they close down the church, where would we go? Yeah, we can listen online. You can give online. But, man, you can't get my hug online. I'm sorry, but... So if we pray for the city, then I think we're all good. We are the church. Yeah. When we accepted Jesus and we became here, we're the church. We're part of New Hope East Hawaii. And we have chosen to live as God's chosen, called people. And for us, for me as a leader, we invest in your lives. And we try to encourage you, to motivate you to be like the best that you can be, the best that God called you to be. You know, some people come here when it's convenient or when they're hurting, and that's the only time you see them. And you know what? I said, terrific, because at least they know where to go. How many of you ever been down and out and hurting and went to the bar? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We get 9 honest people in this church. Only the 9 honest ones actually went to the bar when they was down and out and hurting. In 1985, I got into an accident. I flew out of a truck window. I landed on my tailbone. I was all bust up, twisted, and down and out. And where did I find my comfort? On the bar stool, when I'm not supposed to be sitting. What did I learn? That's not the place for healing and comfort. And I did that for many years. But yeah, when those people who come here out of convenience, because they know they're hurting, they're broken, and they come to church, I'm so happy, because they know where to go. They know that they can find hope and encouragement. They can get a hug. They can get love. They can get a good meal. Because those of them who like us, went to the bar to find comfort, all we did come out was empty pockets and empty bank accounts. And nothing else. Maybe a temporary relief of pain until the alcohol wore off. Then we were just worse off because we were still in pain and we were broke. But, you know, it's a place where people come. And as long as we meet here, as long as we shine the light to people, as long as we let them know where we are and what time we meet, one day, when they're hurting, the light's gonna come on. Oh, New Hope East Hawaii, 9 o'clock, Sunday morning. Food, coffee, fellowship. I need that. Each of us, we belong to a community of Christians. And we do that for our well-being and for the well-being of our family. It's part of the vision of the local church. And so all of us, we get to go and continue to invite people here. Invite people to come into the presence of God. Invite people to come into the kingdom of heaven. And man, when we can do that, and we can get somebody in heaven because of our faith and our boldness and our example, then we can be saying that, yes, I am doing God's work. I am part of the body. You and I, we have stakes in the future of the church. You and I have that responsibility. And for us, I want us to take that seriously, because we all have an assignment given to us by God, and it's called the Great Commission, yeah? Found in Matthew 28, 19, yay! It says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man, we have an assignment. We get to see to it that this fellowship doesn't die when we die, but when the older one, us older ones die, the younger ones will keep this place going and even do better than we did, even fill up every seat. And after Pastor Aaron, after we go, then they can do their three services, yeah? Yeah, they can do Saturday night and three on Sunday, yeah, after we go. Yeah, and wouldn't that be great? That we, on our old and aching bodies, they just build this place up higher and better and stronger than ever before. And when we can do that, this generation can say, yeah, we did our job. We trained that next generation up. But until we intentionally do that, then we still got plenty of work to do. How many people do you want to bring in heaven with you? Who will be in heaven because of you? Amen. Put away your notes. Ask the worship team to come up. I want to say happy 12th anniversary, and let's keep it going. Okay? Because we're only going to keep it going by our efforts. Those of you who are here, those are the ones that we're going to keep it going by training up leaders and the next generation. And that's how we keep it going. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to pray. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and if somebody invited you because of our 12th anniversary, thank them for inviting you. And I want to give you the chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And it goes like this. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Okay. Lord, thank you so much for the hands that you have called to say yes to you. We thank you so much for allowing us to be here for these 12 years. And we ask, Lord, for many, many more years to come. Help us to equip and to raise up leaders, to train up the next generation, to be an unstoppable force for you. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, so, you know, anniversaries are always great, and we always have gifts, and we have a special gift for each and every one of you. All right, it's at that table over there. It is a journal, a life journal, and it has a Bible reading plan. It has a sample of what we do when we read the Bible. It's a gift. It's an investment for each and every one of you. Even if you don't come to this fellowship, take that gift because it is for you. It'll help equip you to read, to understand, and to apply God's word into your life. So, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keauhawaii. For more information, call us at 808-888-8888. 935-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.